This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
We welcome you again to another episode. This is episode 65 of Me and My 88 Friends. The 88 friends, as you probably know by now, are the keys on the piano. We have a special guest today. He was with our show last week, and we just had such a great time that we extended it. We actually got enough stuff to do three shows. But my friend Larry Hughes from St. Louis, Larry from Louis, is going to be with us again today. Larry has spent the last 20 years of his life teaching in a large Christian high school in St. Louis. He is an ordained Presbyterian minister and very smart man. He's a great theologian, but he's also a great lover of music. He has an extensive collection of albums and CDs over the years. And he finds all these little-known people who are really great. Speaking of little-known, he's also my friend, and he has always been a great encouragement to me with the songwriting and the songs that I've written over the last 52 years. So I asked him to do something a little out of the ordinary, which I've never done with anybody. I asked him to pick his personal playlist of his favorite songs that I've written over the years. He's heard almost all of them, and he came up with his request list. So we're going to do that. We're going to be talking to Larry, and we're also going to be fellowshipping with my 88 friends on the keyboard. So let's go right to a phone conversation Larry and I had the 31st of January. Welcome, Larry Hughes.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you again.
You have a very interesting life, and we talked about that last week. What really hit me after hearing it back was just the sovereignty of God and his leadership over your life. He gave you a calling, and you went through, as the song says, many dangers, toils, and snares. But he always gets us there, doesn't he, if we're really seeking his face and wanting to do his will?
Absolutely. Absolutely. God never abandons us.
I've always thought about this. A lot of times people come and they're so worried about missing the will of God. And I think you agree with me. My opinion is pray about it, step out in faith and do what you think God is saying. And if you're wrong and if your heart's right, God will direct your path and get you there. But don't just sit back and do nothing for the rest of your life, afraid that you might make a mistake.
I agree with that.
What we were going to do at the last episode, you were going to pick a playlist of my songs, because you've known me since the year after I first started writing songs. I first started, got my first song in 1969. I met you in 70, and you pull some out of the hat I hadn't sung for decades, but I'm going to try to play your playlist today. When I asked you to come up with a playlist, almost all of them were in the early days of songwriting, and I've looked back, and sometimes I think the early days, you don't know a lot of theory. You don't know a lot of the rules that they put in songwriting books, the structural rules and all of that. You just write what's coming out. And I think back then, I think of people like Paul Simon and Bob Dylan, they weren't tied down to this sort of structural thing that people say now, a verse, chorus, verse, chorus, got to put a bridge in there and come back to they weren't tied down to those kinds of little formulas. And you picked songs that were you know, didn't play by the rules, put it that way. Some of them, the structure was just all over the map. A lot of these have never been recorded, so.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well, certainly, as you, always at the top of my list is Psalm 126. Because I think I said before, I just think it's one of the most beautiful melodies that you've written. And that song is just, it's so full of hope. And it's, again, we were talking about doubts and stuff. It's very realistic. It says that those who sow in tears, you know, that you work, that you, you know, like, and I've certainly, and I know you have, you know, there have been people that you've dealt with for a really long time that you've literally wept over, that you wanted to see them come to the Lord. Right. And sometimes we see that happen and sometimes we don't. So being out there, it's whenever you're bringing the gospel to the people, it's back again there at the end of Acts 17. Some will scoff at it. Some will say, well, I'm kind of curious about this. I want to hear some more. And others will believe. And so, you know, the as short as that psalm is, it's very realistic because it says, you know, that you sow in tears, but you reap in joy.
The actual name of the song I gave it was We Were Like Those Who Dreamed.
I love that. Yeah.
And so I'll just kind of set this up, but then I'll go to the piano and play it. But what this is people describing, the author is describing the joy when the captives came back to Jerusalem. I forget what king it was that sent the Jewish people to Babylon for 70 years. This is your first song on the playlist. I'm going to go over and play it now. Psalm 126. Those of you listening, you might want to get the Bible out at some point when this show's over and read that psalm. It really is a wonderful psalm. When the Lord brought back His children to Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Oh, how we laughed. How we sang the songs of our fathers. We were like those who dream. Then the nation said, God has done great things for them, we agree. We agree that God has done great things for us. We are glad, oh, so glad. They that sow in tears will reap with great joy, bringing their sheaves with a shout of praise.
God has done great things for us, and we are glad, oh, so glad. They that sow in tears will reap with great joy, bringing their sheaves with a shout of praise. Bringing their sheaves with a shout of praise.
I'm pretty sure that my second choice was Pray for Betty Johnson.
Again, now I haven't sung that song in probably 45 years, maybe even 50 years. It's been a long, long time. In fact, I forgot a lot of the words of it. I had to give it a little bit of tweaking. But why do you like that song?
I just know that when you go to like the bridge, because you go through the song talking about different people and what their specific needs are. And, you know, to me, that's certainly a big part of prayer too, is, you know, when I pray for folks, pray for specific needs. And, but when you get to the bridge, you say, I'm so ashamed I haven't prayed more.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most important parts of following Jesus, I think, is a life of prayer. You know, bringing people their names before God, bringing situations before, and praying that He will give you wisdom in how to, if you're in the middle of that situation, how to deal with it. But also, you know, for the very specific struggles and things that other people have, that God would be in the middle of their lives and that you do things. I found a lot of times long ago, earlier in my life, it was like we always felt like we were supposed to be doing something. And so when we couldn't figure out anything else to do, we'd say, well, let's just pray about it, as though that's like the last resort.
Yeah.
When in fact, it ought to be the first resort.
One of those lines in Pray for Betty Johnson, when it says, I'm so ashamed I haven't prayed more. The next line says, when I think about the things they're going through.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of the essence of that song. We need to stop and think about what they're going through, what it would be like to be going through what they're going through right now. It's not just calling a name out. It's empathizing and that sort of thing. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and I was going to say, and here's hoping, I keep hoping that one of the big country guys of today, like a Brad Paisley, will hear this song on the podcast and say, I need to record that song. So,
you know what? That would make my day. I remember seeing Eddie Fisher. Now, you might not remember Eddie Fisher. He was
was like husband number two or three of Elizabeth.
Yeah. He was a big singer in the 50s, though. But, yeah, he was Liz Taylor's husband and Debbie Reynolds and Connie Stevens. He was a real woman's man. But I saw him like a year or two before he died. He was on the Mike Douglas show, and he was getting ready to sing a song, and he said, hey, at this point in my life, I could sure use another hit right now. It would be nice to have a hit again. But anyway, I'm going to try my hand at it. This is Pray for Betty Johnson.
Each night she cries herself to sleep, afraid of what the future might mean. Pray for Nathan Bradford. His daddy died about a month ago. I passed his house this morning. He was sitting on the porch. It hurt me so. Pray for Harold Bateman. His marriage failed and now he's all alone. And pray for Ashley Strickland. She's making plans to run away from home. Pray for Barbara Franklin. She's dying of a terrible disease. Pray for Sean McDowell, fighting for his country overseas. Pray for those around you. They're struggling much more than you might think. Pray for those who surround you. Pray that God may somehow give them strength. I'm so ashamed I haven't prayed more. When I think of all the things they're going through, I'd like to ask a simple favor. Will you pray with me? I know there's strength in two. Struggling much more than you might think. Pray for Betty Johnson. Pray that God will somehow give her strength.
Third one was the treasure, the one about that you wrote about the treasure in the field,
the parable of the treasure. Yeah,
it's your tunes, your melodies that you put with these things, because they don't rush through things. They give you this opportunity to linger within the song and really think about it. And it's such a great story anyway. But to me, I love the music to that, just like I love the music to Psalm 126. And of course, you know, nobody can squawk about the lyrics.
Well, it's straight from Jesus. But I think they call that letting the music breathe, where you give it enough pauses where you can kind of think about it, what was just said. Now, that's the story of a man who was walking through a field and found a hidden treasure that nobody else saw, and he was so excited he went and sold everything he had and bought that treasure. So I always like to sing this one. I never have gotten tired of that one over the years. So here goes another one right at the piano. There was a man who walking through, who walking through a field, found a great treasure buried beneath, ground. In his excitement, he went and sold. He went and sold all he had, and with the money he had obtained, he went and bought one long field. I do suppose some people mocked, some people scoffed at that man. Why, he was such a fool, I can hear them say. Just look at all the things that he lost. But they had not seen what that man saw. He only thought of the gain. So many times he had walked through that field before, but one day he noticed a treasure. So goes the kingdom. It is compared to a treasure. Time will reveal what we have gained, what we have gained just by losing. Shoot another song out of your arsenal of requests.
Well, certainly, I think I thought all the way back to your first album, the title track, I Wouldn't Go Back.
Yeah.
It's just the cover of that. That song just was really caught really beautifully in to the cover shot of that old sort of beaten down house with just the really you know, trees with no leaves.
It was a strange, gnarled. It was a strange album cover for back then, but it did catch the essence of the song. You know, I don't want to ever go back to the old life. That album cover, and I guess I need to post it on Facebook, but like you say, it was an old abandoned house. I think there was a board over the window or the doors.
Yeah.
We were driving through Texas, Bud and Carl and I, singing with the fishermen, and our tire blew out. You know, we drove a hearse, by the way, and the tire blew out right in front of that house. It just blew out, and we had to stop, and we always have laughed about it. Carl was always the grunt guy. I mean, Carl's got a picture right across the street from that house. I'm under a tree reading the Bible, and Bud's, of course, taking pictures, and he's taking a picture of Carl changing the tire. But we just, later when we put this album together, we looked through our pictures, thought, well, look at that house. It'd be kind of strange to put this as the cover, but the name of the record was I Wouldn't Go Back. And I think it worked, you know, as a cover. I sat down with my present band a few months ago, and we actually recorded it, so I'm going to play that now.
Sitting in my
tears streaming down my face. Life was such a waste. Then I met
Let me tell you about this song, though.
Years later,
Ray Bolts, at the top of his career, put out an album called Classics. He put that song with all those big songs, and I said, why did you do that? It's not a classic. And his answer to me, I've never forgotten, he said, it was a classic to me. And he said, I'm the one doing the record. And so he put it on there. And so he even released it to radio. And this is the wild thing about it. Now, that was the third song and the third and last song that he released to radio. Of course, The Anchor Holds was the first one, and that did great. Then At the Foot of the Cross was the second one, and that made, I think, number three. So here he throws out I Wouldn't Go Back, and the radio people and critics absolutely despised the song.
You're kidding.
Oh, the reviews they sent back were just terrible. They said, what's this with this weird bridge in the middle? I just don't get it. Now, of course, he released it like 30 years after it was written, and when musical tastes had changed, where you wanted that structure limited to 3 minutes or whatever. But, oh, they hated it, and it bombed. Yeah, I don't think it ever got 1 minute of airplay. But you know what my answer to that is? What comforts me about that song is that Andre Crouch heard that song and cried. And I thought, that's affirmation I need. Who cares if the critics didn't like it? If Andre Crouch, one of the greatest legends in the history of music, was so moved by it that he cried, that's okay with me. So anyway, it is a different song. What you got else, Larry?
Well, the first track off of your latest CD, Living in the Shadow, I love that song. Along the arc of an artist's career, to me, as they get older, the work changes very subtly, but it's no longer just about the energy or the freshness. It's about the meditation, the thinking about life, and of having gone through real, and your work certainly shows that, real struggles and trials and things they've had to go through and have come through because right. God is so faithful. And It gives a different perspective, which I think is legitimate. Just like the first perspective is legitimate as you begin life and you're excited about so many things, and you ought to be. But then, as you get toward the end of your life, if the Lord tarries, you're going to have the opportunity to look back and also the things that you've picked up, literally day by day. It gives a life greater substance. I'll just say it that way.
Well, this song, the essence of it is, hey, you have a lot of dreams as a young man, but some of them don't come true. But really, it doesn't matter in the long run because the most important treasure is to live and walk in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. And so the line, I have found a peaceful path. And that's a greater treasure than, any human accolades you could ever get. This song was written right before Trish and I went to Scotland. And we were studying up on Scotland, watching Scotland shows. And it kind of comes through the tune and everything, you know, that's kind of where we were thinking, sort of a Scottish that frame of mind, you know. So here's Living in the Shadow.
That used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, just a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. Shadow of the glory of the Lord, looking forward to what is yet to come. But for now, I have found a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. the shadow of the glory of the Lord.
Okay, Larry, there's another one you told me you wanted to be on the song list. And we were just talking about this right before the last song, how you write songs in your young years, and then later you get perspective. This song is called Springtime. I wrote this song in 1974, I think, 73
wow.
or 4, with totally different lyrics. And the song then was celebrating the newness and the springtime of my love and all of that. It was all about almost like first love, that sort of thing,
uh-huh.
that close relationship with the Lord, that excitement of newness. Well, I put that song, put it away, and I almost threw it away. I almost got rid of it totally. In fact, a bass player friend of mine heard it and says, what about that song? I said, no, I don't think I'm going to ever do anything much with it. I don't think people like it or whatever. And he said, no. And so I kept it, but I really was going to just forget it. But this time around, it's really talking about all the seasons. And of course, now you and I both are in the autumn of our life, or getting there. I'm there. And then winter,
I think we're there, yes.
Winter is coming. But it's a celebration, really, of being able to walk through all the seasons with a close relationship and friendship with God. And I can honestly say that, and you can too. We both came to the Lord as little. You were 12, I was 8. And we have walked through every season with Him walking with us, and it's a great, great, great thing.
Autumn is near, soon the trees will be bare and the winter will follow suit. And it never grows old as the seasons unfold and the time quickly passes. For I know what happens next. Brown fades to green. Make way for spring without end.
Now, I'm going to throw in a bonus track because you didn't mention this when you gave me your list, but I'm just going to throw this in because you used to always like for me to sing this years ago. I just sat down just actually a week or two ago and put it down. I've never recorded it. And again, I had to really dig hard to remember the words, but we're just going to throw this on for a bonus track. This is called The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Where you gonna be when we sit down at the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Where you gonna be when the new wine flows so freely at the end of the age and the beginning of a new one? And we sit and converse with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see the bridegroom face to face. Where, oh, where will you be? I'll be glad to see my old friends and my loved ones. After so many years of being apart, what a jubilee when we all get together at the end of the age and the beginning of a new one. Oh, and we sit and converse with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that's gonna be for me. But where, oh where will you be? No one can ever say they don't have an invitation to the greatest wedding feast of all. I can almost hear the band begin to play and the shouts of rejoicing ringing from the banquet hall. Oh, a day of rejoicing that's gonna be. Where, oh, where will you be? I hope I sit beside the woman who sat at the well or the thief on the cross, but I really don't care as long as I'm there. Down the line I see Zacchaeus is talking to Lazarus, and at the end of the table Elijah is laughing with Paul. Oh, and we sit down first with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see Jesus face to face. Where,
will you be? Where will you be? Where will you be?
Oh, I love that.
Little Rex Seinfeld.
But I went back looking through the archives, by the way, and I saw that you had actually done Song of the Disciple in one of the programs. And that's one of the very first songs I ever heard of yours. And
it's the first song I ever wrote.
I love that song. I chose to follow him. As we walked down those narrow streets, everyone that we would meet could feel the love in this man. Tax collector so despised suddenly could realize that God still cared for him. And the lame could walk, the blind could see, troubled minds could now be free. Just one word brought peace to them. He said to them, I'll be your friend, I'll be your guide, never leave your side. And so they chose to follow him. Jesus, Jesus, he's the one I'm singing of. He filled my life with love. So we traveled through the land, lifting up our fellow man for a thousand days in time. Slowly things began to change. Started acting strange up a hill my friend had to climb. He said he must be crucified, but just before I watched him die, I could hear a faint muffled sound. I love you still, and I always will, Father, forgive, so that they may live. And so I choose to follow him. Jesus, Jesus, I hope that I can always say to you,
I choose to follow you.
So what is your last song on this personal playlist of yours?
As Old as Me.
That song was written to my grandson, Dalton. Thank you for listening in on my conversation with my great friend Larry Hughes from St. Louis, Missouri, as he picked a personal playlist of some of his favorite songs. He has known me since I first started writing songs, so it's been a great experience to go back through the years with Larry. Hope you'll join us next week. God bless. My age.